sambrato vyaktam guru karishantu digam atmanam ekava ekaeva yogi man suchiranati vivana sanghananango tadasa chopatrita bhava sakhe no eva pararete sangatina iti bahu vipalakto vyavityaya rachita dravya guna kamashtaya svacharama kaleva devastuni sangsana visheshevam mamityana idyaropita miya pratyayo brahmo bhutastushmi shivikam purvava uvaha. King Raghunath told Yadavarat, "How troublesome this is, my dear brother. You certainly appear very fatigued, because you have carried this palanquin along without any assistance for a long time and for a long distance. Besides that, due to your old age, you have become greatly troubled. My dear friend, I see that you are not very firm, nor very strong and stout. Aren't your fellow carriers cooperating with you?" This was all spoken in a sarcastic tone. In this way, the king criticized Yadavarat with sarcastic words. Yet despite being criticized in this way, Yadavarat had no bodily conception of the situation. He knew that he was not the body, for he had attained his spiritual identity. He was neither fat, lean, nor thin, nor had he anything to do with a lump of matter, a combination of the five gross and three subtle material elements. He had nothing to do with the material body and its two hands and legs. In other words, he had completely realized his spiritual identity. Aham Brahmasmi. He was therefore unaffected by the sarcasm spoken by the king. Without saying anything, he continued carrying the palanquin as before. Yadavarat was completely liberated. He did not even care when the dacoits attempted to kill his body. He knew that he certainly was not the body. Even if the body were killed, he would not have cared, for he was thoroughly convinced of the proposition found in Bhagavad Gita. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. He knew that he could not be killed, even if his body was killed. Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. Therefore he was saved by the mercy of Krishna. And the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. This body was very strong and stout, in sound condition, and quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from the bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. The body is created according to one's karma, and material nature supplies the ingredients for the development of a certain type of body. The soul the body covers is different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the soul. I believe you are listening with great interest to what we hear here. It's something which we, in a state of consciousness, which we all wish to attain so much, a state in which we are unaffected by whatever happens due to our previous karma to us. The Vedic injunction is asango khyayam purusha. The spirit soul is always unaffected by material arrangements.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astadhyane Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Very conscious
that it was his last time to address his disciples in Europe, and he had something very important to share with us. We were, the Sankirtan devotees were invited into his room, and there his divine grace spoke to us. He had sunglasses to protect his eyes. He looked very thin or emaciated. So he looked at each one of us. And then he asked, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" Now, we knew this was the cue, the sign. We should now present our understanding of the philosophy. And the devotees spoke, Sarvadamam parijatya, mamikam sharanam vraja. Prabhupada shook his head. That was not the right answer. Then another devotee spoke, Yadeko tarika Krishna upadesh. There were a few other answers, and then this verse came, Yadeko tarika Krishna upadesh. Krishna means Krishna, and upadesh means the message. Wow. Very fiery when he heard this, and he said, "Yes, but what is this upadesh? I'm asking you, what is the message? What is the philosophy?" This was a little strong. And Prabhupada looked at us and he shook his head, because we had not understood the philosophy. We had not given the correct answer. He said, "First of all, you need to understand that life is eternal." Have you understood acoustically? Should I repeat? No need. That is what he said. There's a little book out, it's called The Path of Perfection, one of Srila Prabhupada's pocket books, which are distributed, which is distributed on Sankirtan. And there Prabhupada writes, "First understanding in Krishna consciousness is you are an eternal soul, not the body. And you, this understanding shouldn't be theoretical." Yes. It should be practical. And here, in today's verse, we find Yadavarata. He was the emperor of the entire world. After him, the planet Earth was called. And he was cruelly offended by this minor king, Rahugana, who had a little province to rule. And Rahugana, in comparison to Bharatmaharaj, and Rahugana, first of all, had the audacity to make him one of his four palanquin carriers. And then he addressed him with sarcastic words. But he did not care. Yadavara did not care. Because he was no longer identified with the body. How often are we disturbed that someone talks rumors about us, or addresses us impolitely,
or even more if they do not give us the right honor and respect and so on. How much are we careful to guard our position as older devotees, brahmanas, sannyasis, gurus? In our movement we sometimes find a devotee who's 2 weeks older talking heavily to the 2 years younger Bhakta, "I'm your superior, you have to listen to me now." Hare Krishna. There is one great devotee, he's one of the saints of Maharashtra, maybe Telavia can help me because
Tukaram.
I know his name starts with Ekanath is his name.
Ekanath
is there. Ekanath, yes. Ekanath. I remember Ekanath. So listen to this story and just assess your present level of being free from the desire to be respected because you identify with your physical body and the position the body has in society. So Ignat lived in a little hut. He used to take every morning his bath in the nearby river and then return to do more of his sadhana. Now, he always used to pass after his morning bath by some professional gamblers. They were playing cards. And one day, when he was passing, one gambler said, "There are no saints. This Ekanath is pretending to be Mr. Super devotee. There are no saints in Kali Yuga. And tomorrow, I will do something whereby we all shall see that he is not a saint. I will provocate him." And then he will get upset, and then we all know he is phony. Phony means false. So, in the morning, when Ekanath came to the river to take his bath, he took his bath and dressed in a blue satin cloth, and went out of the river and passed a house in which this gambler was sitting. Shishi Radhamana Vaki Te. And the gambler was just chewing pan, which makes the mouth all red. When Ignat came with this clean dhoti in the chanta, he went, "Can't do it before the deities." He spent on him. And stain, which had the cloth became all red, the body became all red. So Ignat looked up, looked down, and begged back to the river to take another bath. After he had bathed and dressed new, he came out and passed the same house. The gambler sat there. He had not gone. And again, he spent a whole dose, you know, it's a lot, you know, it can like fits in a cup. And it went all over the cloth and the body. Ignat went back to his second bath, returned, and was spat upon again. My dear devotees, this repeated, this scenario repeated itself for, I believe, I forgot, maybe 20 times or so. And finally, the mouth of the offender was getting dry. Because you can only spit so many times, so much on someone, you know.
the boss doesn't supply any longer. Then he looked down at the pages of faces to Ignat and said, Ignat, I can't understand you. Why do you not get upset? Why do you just tolerate this? And Ignat said, my dear, I could see that you are very determined to make me upset. So I have learned from you to be determined in one's life, in the course of one's life. And I am very determined to remain in the humble position of mind. I don't know if he supported the Trinava, but he's shloka. But there are many such shlokas in Vaishnava literature. And also, if you are what you are, should I not say what I am? I have taken the spiritual life. I have understood I am not the body. What happens to the body and the mind is not affecting the soul. Should I not remain there? And then he said, and also, I took many baths today at the holy river, and you helped me. He must have said it with some humor in his voice. This is an example of being able to tolerate the insults which are heard upon. You can see really how much you have realized that you are not the body by how tolerant you are. If you are a little easily upset, if you are easily disturbed, you should ask yourself the question, am I really connected with spiritual reality in my life? Am I really, have I understood the first of all you have to understand lesson? These questions have to be asked by a sincere follower of Srila Prabhupada. Is it working? How am I? Am I slowly becoming purified? Can I tolerate the ups and downs of material life? There will be many ups and downs in the life of an ordinary sadhaka in this world. Many unexpected things happen to someone who is on the spiritual path. And if that person doesn't learn to tolerate it, but always becomes upset when it's called the vishitudes. Vishitudes means the ups and downs of material life get to him. Then what good is it? Are we not just making a show and deceiving ourselves in the name of spiritual life and Krishna consciousness? A person who has Krishna in the consciousness is thinking of Krishna, but a person who has his body and mind in his consciousness, all the things of his respect, his position in life, and you, I have a news for you. The world will never do the favor to you to deal with you like you want to be dealt with. It just doesn't happen. You are at the wrong place. It says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. It's not from the Shastras, it's from the modern understanding. Instead of becoming so upset with our body and our mind or our position and the way we conduct ourselves in this world becomes attacked, we should rather expect Krishna's mercy. Tatenukampam shushamishamano punyanaivatmakritam vipakam Then I started to give the lecture. I had learned this 20 times, could not look like a fool. But now I just forgot it. The verse says, someone, as he goes through life, should always expect your mercy. Simultaneously, he should tolerate the sufferings or the ups and downs of material life, and be steadfast in offering with his words, his mind, and his body respectful obeisances to you. In this way, he becomes a candidate for your dayava, for your mercy. So the verse instructs us to take responsibility for what comes our way and understand these are karmic reactions which I have myself caused. They have to come. But I remain unshaken. I remain steadfast. I use my body to offer my obeisances to Krishna, give birth and worship him and serve him. I use my mind to think of Krishna, and I use my words to speak of Krishna. And if Krishna sees a devotee who tolerates and doesn't say, oh no, this happens to me, I get another Lord now, this is too much. No, he sees the devotee understands that I brought this about. And he continues to come what want, serve Krishna. He becomes a candidate for the mercy of Krishna. My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy and who goes on suffering the results of his past misdeeds, offering you obeisances from the core of the heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for that has become his rightful claim. This is the translation, one of the translations Prabhupada gave. And Prabhupada said, he gave a purport of this, when such impediments arise, do you understand impediments? It's like obstacles, things which are throwing us, or moving us. The devotee should immediately think of Krishna and expect his mercy. And the Prabhupada says, this should be the guideline of all devotees. My dear devotees, the difference between a non-devotee and a devotee is when the non-devotee gets something unpleasant in his life, he defends himself and he tries to correct everything. The devotee of Krishna is more interested in Krishna's mercy, and he takes shelter in Krishna's lotus feet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee is the non-devotee is not interested in Krishna's mercy. Not interested. He doesn't know of this. So, my dear devotees, one, I would like to give you a few examples of devotees who have shown this tolerance which is based on the understanding I am not the body and I have to tolerate these material ups and downs. But one example, maybe the first example, the foremost example, is Parikshit Maharaj, another emperor. Parikshit Maharaj, as you we all know, was cursed by an arrogant, immature, hot-tempered hothead. His name was Shringi. He was the young son of Shamika Rishi. So, after his father, Shamika Rishi, heard that his own son had cursed the devotee emperor Parikshit to die within 7 days. You know, this was a deadly curse. He went, oh no, now we lose the most important person for the welfare of planet Earth, a righteous Raja Rishi. Oh, what has happened? Shringi, what have you done? And then he wanted to say to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit, there are some things you can do now to free yourself from the curse. One of the things is to make a yajna. If you are cursed by a brahmana, and this is terrible, you can make a yajna, by the way. This is the case you need it at one time in your life. And you can neutralize the curse. But then, Shomika Rishi, he was thinking, and he said, maybe a counter curse. Maybe I should curse my own son or something. But then he thought, oh no, all this won't work, because he is a devotee of the Lord. He understands I'm not the body. He's not afraid of death even when he sheds his body. And he is so tolerant. And he said this one verse. You can find it in the Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 18th chapter, verse 48. This is an amazing shloka. It says, Tiraskrita vipralabdha sapta chitta hatapi nasya tat pratikurvanti tat pakta prabhavopihi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing, it means something like tolerant, that even though they are defamed, someone writes on the internet against Parikshit Maharaj, not the man's worth, no internet. No. Even though they are defamed, even though the devotees are cheated, even though they are cursed, disturbed, they are neglected or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. They don't want to take revenge. They let it pass. We had this in our Kirtan Academy. Yesterday, we dealt with the question, how will the holy name make a Naam Smukti in our heart? It is an appearance in our heart, and we will see as we chant Krishna in our heart. And we were dealing with the obstacles which keep the holy name from revealing himself, and dealt with the Vaishnava Parada. Then we understood also that the devotees themselves, the high devotees, will not take a parad. Okay, here's an online question. Someone on the internet didn't know that the whole world is watching Hare Krishna. I will take your question at the end of the class. So, we understood there that a great devotee will just not accept the offense. Once someone came to Lord Buddha, this is an analogy, will show us something, and offended Buddha, you fat person, you just sit here, you drink the milk of the farmers, you are useless to society. So Buddha would just smile at him. And then when the person had ended his offenses, there were many offenses, Buddha said, when someone brings a present to another person, and the person who is given this present does not accept it, to whom does the present belong? The person who gave the present. Just imagine this devotee who has some interesting computer, I can see it from here, gives me the computer, says, Maharaj, I'm giving you this computer, it's my treasure possession. I'm a brahmachari, I have nothing, but I have this computer, and I give it to you. And I said, thank you very much, but I myself too foolish to use a computer. I have no actual use in this. So then, to whom does this computer go? Of course, to our possessionless brahmachari. I'm just joking. About this. It's good to have such devices for electronic books. I'm very good if you're intelligent enough to use them. And so it's very good. I'm not speaking against having these things, but I'm speaking on a principle. If one gets a present and doesn't accept it, to whom does it go? To the person who gave it. So in the same way, the devotee is not on the bodily platform, but he cannot be upset, be made upset. So when an offender gives him an offense, he doesn't take the offense. Huh? And it goes back to the offender. Huh? So we were talking about these things and other things in the Kirtan Academy. There are some very interesting subjects which I discussed there. But Krishna, he does not like if his devotees are hurt, because Krishna resides in the heart of his devotees. And there's a Bhagavatam verse which says that Krishna does not appreciate it. He becomes upset with the offender. But the devotee doesn't take the offense. So Parikshit Maharaj was like this. He was cursed, but he didn't react. Instead, he went to the bank of the Mother Ganga and looked for the mercy of Krishna. And it came in the form of Shukadev Goswami, who talked to him in his last 7 days about the wonderful personality of Godhead. And Parikshit Maharaj went back home, back to Godhead in full Krishna consciousness. This is an example of tolerance. Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, you remember he had completed his Govardhan Parikrama and sat at Govindakund and fasted. And fasted, he didn't think of nourishing his body. What he did is he chanted. And then Krishna thought, my God, no one gives him something. Then I have to give him something. And he personally came and supplied milk to Madhavendra Puri. Now, those who have listened to the class up till now will most probably have developed a great doubt about their heart. Okay, we have to apply the teachings, we are not the body, and one application is tolerance. But how is this possible? We are beginners in Krishna consciousness. Or we are not very, we can't do this. I guess the question will be on this subject. Let me see. Yes, it's exactly on this subject. Our online questioner has asked a question which most probably is in all of our minds, and I would like to repeat it for the audience because I want to speak about this now. Indeed, tolerance is a lesson to be learned by one and all. Still, Maharaj, can you please tell me how much tolerance should we have? Is there a limit to one's tolerance? For tolerance does not give the offender a chance to commit more offenses from so that your name is on TV, probably I will tell maybe you like your family to know. Rasika Sindhu does, the ocean of spiritual taste from Italy. Wonderful. Thank you for this very, very relevant question. It's a question I think which is very important at this stage to ask. How much tolerance should we keep? Obviously, when something is wrong, the wrong must be corrected. That is one thing. But I would like to now talk about another subject. This is a social subject, which is that I would like to talk about this question from a very spiritual perspective. I would ask you back, my dear online viewer, ask yourself, do you have the strength, the inner strength to tolerate? We talk about this, to become inner, to become strong, and to become advanced in Krishna consciousness and go deep. Are you deep? Do you have spiritual strengths? Are you able to do this? Let us not talk now about the fools and rascals and how to correct them when they do wrong things. Let them take care of this themselves, or the material nature takes care. I am talking now about you, not about others. Only you are now in the limelight. Have you understood you are not the body and the mind? Please do not divert your attention from the you, from you are now on the surgery table. No? Let the others come when they come, when it's their turn to come. Yes, you need to correct them. Sorry. And how, my question is, how will we develop this level of Krishna consciousness, where we are totally undisturbed, where material nature can throw at us whatever it wants, and we will say, Hare Krishna, this is not we expected. No? It is so good if you have this inner strength of tolerance. How will you get it? And my dear devotees, here is a wonderful recommendation of the step-by-step process to become strong in it. And so I want to read to you something from Harinam Chintamani, which is the textbook which is used in the Kirtan Academy. It's a beautiful work which I all recommend. You must read it. So the stages of advancement in devotional service are as follows. Remember, we had the big ideals, Parikshit Maharaj, Madhavendra Puri, pure devotees who had as one of the side symptoms the ability to tolerate because they are always with Krishna, like Yadav Maharaj. So here is, we want to now not talk about the ideal, we want to talk what you can do now to become advanced demon. The process which has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada is to cleanse our heart from misgivings. One of the misgivings is the wrong identification with the body and the mind. But by chanting the holy name, Chidola Panamadanam Madhavapnidivapanam, it gets cleansed the heart. And here, Bhakti Nautaku tells how this actually happens. First, a soul who has turned his face towards Lord Krishna, that's you. You know, there are two types of souls. One is a person who looks outwardly, it is called Bahirmukha. And then there is a soul like you, Antamukha, a soul who looks inward, who sees the Lord and devotion and so on. So first, a soul who has turned his face towards Krishna. My dear devotees, that's a nice way to call a devotee. A devotee is a face turner. Now they are faceful, but we should, the new word is the face turner. You know, someone who turns his face towards Krishna. Maybe that can be a new, something like Facebook, the face turner. You know. So that was, someone who has done this first must avoid the 10 offenses and always chant and meditate on the holy name. This is the first step how you make advancement. You just always, somehow you learn how to chant without getting bored, like many of us, you know. You have to learn how to make this work for you. He clearly enunciates, means speaks, the syllables of the holy name. And he also meditates on the holy name. Acha, this is now the second step. Don't just speak the holy name, bring your mind to the holy name. You know, not just lip service, heart service, that's required. When the chanting of the holy name becomes steady and he becomes happy, then he meditates on Lord Krishna's handsome dark form. With his hand on his beads, he counts the number of holy names, and with his mouth or in his mind, he chants Lord Krishna's holy name. With spiritual eyes, he sees the truth of the holy name. What is the truth of the holy name? You all know this. Binatam nama namino. The name is not different from Krishna. So he sees that. Once he comes to the stage of chanting happily and steady without interruption, it just goes on. He likes chanting. Makes him happy, then the next step comes where the truth becomes revealed. This is Krishna! My God! This is Krishna! With spiritual eyes, he sees the truth of the holy name. Oh! This is a very nice recommendation. It's very practical. Lord Krishna's graceful form standing before him. In other words, such a devotee goes and chants before Radha Madhava, or a picture of Radha Madhava, or the or other deities, Giriraj. And as he chants like this, the name and the form somehow become one. And this is called Nam Smuti, or the appearance of the holy name within the heart. Would you like this?
Yes.
You're afraid, you don't want to say yes. No?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Krishna the heart? Is it a good idea? Or it would be very nice if this happens. So here's the step-by-step process. You chant, then you make yourself familiar with what is the 10 offenses and the extent of them, how far they go, what do they exactly mean. Then you will become, then you can meditate, you can connect the mind while you chant with the name, and then look at the form while you chant, either meditation or you look at the deity and the name and the form. The name and form of Krishna will become one. It goes much further, but I don't want to talk about ideals. You know, this is only the beginner's steps. It goes further and further, but let us first be here, you know, so that we don't have impractical positions. I totally agree. Tolerance is difficult if we still are neophytes in spiritual life who identify with the body and the mind. It's a very, it's a fact. But do you want to be always a neophyte, always have an iron ball around your feet with a chain and you can't move because you're the prisoner of the mind and the moods and the body and if it's well or if it's how it, or if the health is not there, then we are so sad and so on. No, you are great souls. You came to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has awakened you. You deserve something more. You deserve that your heart is full of bliss and that you are ecstatic devotees. Please, therefore, become familiar while you are here on sacred pilgrimage with the path which brings you to this wonderful level which our philosophy speaks about. A level where you are not disturbed any longer, but where you are together with Krishna in the heart, expecting His mercy in all circumstances, counting on His mercy, and relishing when you see how the Lord is so merciful. He is so merciful. He has brought all of us here in the holy dawn. Although we are blind men in the land of jewels who can't see, but we are here. And our Karamba Kalana Maharaj, teacher of Bhakti Shastri, has told us yesterday that Dham gives you Bhava. Bhava means a devotional feeling. First, because we are newcomers, it will give us Chaya Bhava, that is a shadow of the Bhava. The shadow of the devotion feeling. We feel Gauranga, or we feel this is nice. Oh, I'm here, Mayapur. That's so nice, even when I sleep, it's counted as a Dandavat. Good. So we feel some appreciation, something comes our way. But as we go on staying and rendering service to the Holy Name, we are uplifted from the shadow that is just like an invitation, you could call. It has not the real substance, but we are lifted up. Therefore, my dear devotees, if you forget everything of this lecture, which will most probably happen the moment you leave the hall, remember one thing, one sentence. Da means Naam. It's easy to remember. Da, the holy abode of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, means chant the holy name. Always chant it in kirtan, chant it on your beads, chant it when you go to take your prasada. When you take prasada, you might have to eat a little bit, Dham means Naam. And if you chant the name properly, avoiding the 10 offenses, then the Dham will reveal itself in its splendor. The devotees of Mayapur, Yashomaji, Dayaguranga, Narugopal, the Mayapur management, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, they have made a Kirtan Academy here, so that devotees can actually learn in a systematic way how to chant in a way so that the Lord appears in their heart. Many of you have blessed this Kirtan Academy, and it's a wonderful, please keep on blessing it. Please, when you have time, come consider to take some courses there, and in this way take more interest in chanting the holy name. So I went over time, and time is also there, and I have to be to run because of many things. I want to thank you. Also, the online question, my dear Boris, it was a wonderful question you asked. I'm just, you know, when I'm sitting here, I want to make a point. So this is maybe a quality of a preacher. He will not leave this point, you know. It's but so that you have peace in your mind. Yes, we must. There are Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru, and they tell us there are the limits of, you know, and when we should correct the wrong. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says to correct, to follow the voice of your conscience. Do you know what that is? The little voice inside, not consciousness, conscience. If you speak German, the word is Gewissen. Doesn't say much, I know. You should follow the voice of your conscience. That your conscience tells you there must be something wrong. This person is always abusing us. We must somehow, he must be corrected so that he stops abusing. That is natural. That's but we spoke here about, you know, becoming spiritually advanced and realizing we are not the body and the mind. So that we are not so upset and hoping for the mercy of Krishna. You come there by chanting the holy name Samyak. Samyak means properly or correctly according to the guidelines of the acharya. Thank you all very much. I cannot take questions because I went over time, but there will be time when these questions can be answered. Hare Krishna, I wish you a wonderful day. Hare Krishna.